is In Focus on News Radio 1350 KMAN.
And Kathy Dawes, along with State Representative Tom Phillips of Manhattan, also Riley County Police Captain Josh Kyle. I mentioned him because I know there might be some legislation that he might enter in on the discussion a little bit. 537-1350, toll free, 866-776-1350, or you can tweet us at 1350KMAN, and we'll get into more police matters a little bit later in the program. But right now we're focusing on Representative Phillips. Number one, congratulations on your honor, Citizen of the Year. I have to mention that, of course, too.
Yes, that was really a humbling experience. And, you know, I've been involved in local government and nonprofit for quite a while, and it's just something that's passionate for me to give back to the community, and to receive that award was really an honor. And the fact of the matter, I was totally surprised, and I try to not be surprised by things in my life, and that one really caught me off guard. So it was a fun evening, and really honored to have been selected.
Manhattan Area Chamber of Commerce recognizing you this past Friday, had to mention. In fact, I need to almost add that to your title now. Citizen of the Year and State Representative Tom Phillips. Okay, I have to remember that. Anyway, I know there's so much to talk about, Tom.
Yes.
That veto and then the override or attempted override.
Yeah.
Wow, what a week.
It has been a roller coaster of a ride over there. And, you know, I'm proud of the work. And I guess one of the messages I want to let the citizens know is we're still going to figure this out. We're early in the process. I was hopeful that this plan would pass. I really think it takes the state a long way to getting ourselves on a structurally balanced pathway. However, the Senate chose to do something different, and I guess I'll share with you, it was really interesting on the House floor. It takes 84 votes to override the governor's veto, and we were sitting at 83 votes. And then everybody then has the opportunity to explain their vote. So there were probably about 15 people that stood up and explained their vote. And at one point, Representative Clay Arnes from Belleville, Kansas, Republic County area, stood up and started speaking, and you only have 1 minute to speak. And he switched his vote, and that became the 84th vote to override the veto. And actually, there was kind of an eruption of applause, which is, you're not supposed to do that. It kind of breaks decorum. So it was really a kind of a special moment. And, you know, you don't take great pride in going against your governor, but in this instance, we have to get our state back on stable footing. And in my mind, it was the right thing to do.
I have to ask, did you take a minute to explain your vote?
I didn't. You know,
Would you mind explaining your vote to
our
listeners?
Well, sure. You know, a variety of reasons. One, the LLC exemption. For me, that's an issue of equity and fairness, that some people are just simply not paying taxes, and we all need to have skin in the game. Secondly, on that particular issue, I don't think it's achieving its stated goal of creating jobs. If you're saving $10,000 or $15,000 in taxes as a business owner, that's not enough money to hire somebody. So you're just either using that for personal pleasure, or perhaps you're putting some of it back into business. But I just didn't think it was accomplished what it was stated to do. And we are down, and I'm really talking about next year, 2018 budget, we're down $580 million, and we know that from the very start. And if we do not accept some of the governor's ideas about securitization of the tobacco settlement money and delaying CAPERS, we're easily into almost $700 million. So this tax plan that we put forward raises about $590 million in 2018. So that would have put us in a good position to not have to do some of these drastic things. But it didn't succeed, so it's back to the drawing board. Yesterday, very quickly, the tax committee, which I serve as vice chair, sent the governor's proposal, his tax plan, without recommendation to the House floor. And to be quite blunt about it, that's basically to tell the governor that your tax plan, it doesn't accomplish what needs to be done, and it's going to be rejected.
Raising cigarette and liquor taxes, that's the one you're talking about?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yes, and I think I can't remember the top numbers. I think it raises about $130, $150 million. It gets us nowhere to where we need to be. So then I read online last night the Senate Tax Committee is going to kick out their tax proposal, but it raises about $100 million less than the House proposal. So, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, well, that's going to require cuts. And if we're going to cut at this stage of the game, that most likely is going to mean education or higher education. And I'm not in favor of doing that. So we'll see. We're near the end of February. I'm hoping that we can get this done by May. Some people are fearful that we're going to go into June again, but time will tell.
Very good. Well, anything else? And also Medicaid. I know there's been a lot of talk on that, too.
Yeah, that's another interesting story. You know, it was in-house committee, and then it was tabled, which in essence killed it for this session. It was not going to come out of committee. And then there's a procedural maneuver that you can do on the House floor. It requires 70 votes of the House to take an item out of committee and bring it directly to the floor. And that occurred. So we were scheduled the next day to begin, and that's what we did yesterday. We debated for, I guess it was Thursday. We debated for about, it must have been 4 hours, 3 to 4 hours, the whole idea and the merit of expanding Medicaid. But it finally passed, and I think the final vote yesterday was about 81. Not a veto-proof, but a clear indication that the body of the House wants to see changes in the Medicaid program. And it's a complicated issue. There's a lot going on at the federal level. Well, quite frankly, we don't know where this is going to end up with the new administration and what's being talked. You know, from what I've done, even with the desire to repeal and replace, that could take up to 2 years. This is an issue of economic development. If you talked with our local hospital administrator, they would certainly say it's critical for their operation. You talk to local providers, medical providers. Last year, we did a 4% cut to Medicaid providers. And, you know, that was a big blow to a lot of physicians and healthcare providers that provide care to Medicaid. And just on a personal note, I know my wife volunteers regularly down at the Flint Hills Free Clinic. And I think there's, you know, philosophically some people think that, by doing this, we're just allowing able-bodied citizens to get free health care or lower health care. But my wife will tell you that the people that she sees there, these are individuals that are working perhaps two part-time jobs. They're working hard to make ends meet, and they just simply can't get their health care coverage. And they're showing up at our free clinics. So there is a need. I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure that this will go anywhere. I'm not sure if the Senate will pass this bill. And I strongly believe the governor will veto it. So at the end of the day, it may not go anywhere. But at least we've had a chance to debate it. We expressed our views and voted our districts and our consciences. And we'll see where it goes from here.
Just a quick reminder to our listeners, if you do have questions or comments, we have a few more minutes with State Representative Phillips, 537-1350, and we'll bring Captain Kyle into the discussion now. I know the opioid overdose prevention bill, a lot of talk in Associated Press this morning with lawmakers advancing that bill that would expand access to drugs that stop opioid overdoses as healthcare providers and law enforcement officers grapple with a national epidemic. That's quoting AP. And what's that all about? Apparently unanimous support of that.
Yes,
one, Tom.
Yes. My memory's slipping me on the name of the drug, but there is a drug that can be administered and save the life of a person that has overdosed on these drugs. And this law simply allows EMS, law enforcement, to administer the drug. As I understand it, it's as simple as a nasal spray. And that if the police come upon a scene where a person appears to be overdosed, they can quickly revive this person and save a life. We're the last of three states to do this. It makes sense. It's sad but true that there is a growing epidemic here in the Midwest. It's kind of come from both coasts and arriving here in Kansas. Captain Kyle can probably talk more about this than I can, but it's the reality that we're going to have to confront. And if we can save a life, that's what we need to do.
Captain Kyle, some of your thoughts.
Yeah, we keep getting told that get ready because heroin's coming to this area. And fortunately, we haven't seen a lot of it yet. There's been some hints, but nothing serious as of yet. The advantage that we have being in the Midwest and especially in Plain States is it allows other agencies and other cultures to kind of figure out what works and what doesn't work when it comes to serious health issues like this. And so by the time it makes it its way to us, we usually have a pretty good handle of what works and what doesn't, and that allows us to move forward from there. So it's an unfortunate situation, but it's something that's been hitting the East Coast especially hard, and we keep getting told it's coming, get ready for it, and hopefully this bill will help us do that.
And interestingly, I think you were just talking about Fake Patty's Day that's coming up and concerns, because not only is it a lot of drinking, but it does seem to bring drugs into the Manhattan area too. I don't know if that ties in necessarily, but something to think about.
Yeah, it's an unfortunate aspect, and it's something we've seen more and more over the years. Fortunately, disorderly conduct is down. In fact, it's about half the number of arrests that we saw in the past. Unfortunately, the DUIs are up, and also up are drug arrests. In fact, we've asked some agencies to help us out with some drug enforcement during this time. You might remember a couple of years ago, we had a couple of overdoses, and we suspected the people consuming the drug or purchasing the drug thought they were getting one thing and they actually got something else. And so as a result, it gives us a lot of concerns that we need to be on top of. Those were some reports from officers last year that they saw what they thought was illegal drug activity, but they just didn't have the time or resources to deal with it, so we're trying to provide them with that now.
Tom, anything else while we're on law enforcement matters when it comes to the state legislature? Anything else off the top of your head that you can think of that kind of highlights or anything else you're really wanting to talk about today? We've kind of covered the gamut.
Yeah, you know, it's just been a real roller coaster ride over there. You try to do what you think is right for the state, and we're at a critical crossroads. And I hear often from some of my Republican colleagues that we still need to cut budgets. And you know, I'm open to those ideas. Bring forth those ideas. We had an idea that to save money, and I thought, you know, we need to, in the next 5 months, either cut or figure out a way to how to fund $325 million. And one of the ideas was simply to extend the life of cars. And one of them was for Highway Patrol, to have the Highway Patrol's cars go up to, I think, 100,000, 130,000 miles. And number one, I'm not even sure that's a safe idea, that because those cars are driven hard and they need to be in top performance when they're in a high-speed chase, so I'm not even sure that's a good idea. But the fact is, that's not going to save that much money in the overall budget. And so, you know, I keep hearing that we can cut, but no one's really coming forth with ideas of other than cutting local school budgets. And I would encourage those who think that there's fat in the local school budgets to call up our school superintendent. Sorry, Mr. Wade, but Marvin, he would be glad, I'm sure.
Any of the other four that we have in our program,
To sit down with any constituent and explain the budget.
We do have a phone call. Let's go ahead and take a call. Welcome to In Focus. Go ahead, please.
Thank you for taking the call. Good to talk to you, Representative Phil.
Thank you.
I had a question, because from the sounds of it, with the alternative plan, you're still about $100 million shortfall. Is that what you're...
Well, $100 million short from what the House plan was, yes.
I see, yeah. So, and here's a question I had, because, you know, the next guest is Chief Kyle, and we're, you know, expecting a heroin epidemic here. And one of the things, I am in the insurance business, and one of the things I've done for different counties is not in Kansas, was an audit of the pharmaceutical being prescribed, because most of these heroin addictions are people that are coming off prescription medications. And my thought, I'm sure you could answer me more clearly on this, because I'm not familiar with tax legislation, but most of these drugs people are having to go to the street just because they come off the prescription medication and they're still addicted. It's not that we've got an influx or a migration of drug dealers. We've got people that are, you know, addicted because they're coming off prescription medication. Wouldn't it be smart to levy a tax on these medications once they've gone past the... gone through what would be prescribed as the appropriate amount of time on a drug? And also the other thing is that because these are regulated products, you can find out who the bad actors are. if there's somebody milling out prescriptions in Houston, Texas. One of the providers through the Medicaid system was recently found guilty of milling out these drugs because she had an interest in a pharmaceutical or a drugstore, and sentenced to 12 years for doing just that. And it seems to me that, you know, right now we've got Chief Kyle. He's an indicted, and I think
Captain Kyle, by the way, I'm sure he loves a promotion a little bit there, but just a quick correction there.
Yeah, but anyway, has the legislature ever looked at imposing a tax on especially the black label drugs, labels that have, you know, the FDA has labeled as dangerous, and a lot of these things are being continuing to be prescribed. It drives up the cost.
Yeah,
some good points made. I don't mean to cut you off, but I know.
I'm not aware of any conversations about doing that, and I'm not sure if you would run into some federal legislation that whether a state can impose that kind of taxation on those controlled drugs. I don't know the answer. I mean, it's an idea that may have merit, and one that we would probably have to investigate to see what the opportunities there. And so I'm not going to say it's not a bad idea. It's one that I think we're just going to have to do some further investigation.
Captain Kyle, real quickly, did you want to add a little something to that? Or?
Yeah, I've made some comments about drug activity in Manhattan, and I don't want anybody to think that we feel like there's an epidemic that's coming or heroin's coming and it's going to take over our streets or anything like that. Manhattan has the drug issues that you would expect any community our size to have. Our crime rate, I think, reflects that. It's a very safe community and it's a very low crime community. And so I think it's something that, you know, we have to deal with drug activity just like any community our size has to. But I don't think, even with heroin coming, that we're going to see any surge or huge problems. Fake Patty Day is a day in and of itself. We've got to deal with it. It brings a lot of people in from the outside and a lot of party atmosphere to Manhattan. But I'm not want anybody to think out there that law enforcement in this community thinks that drug activity is on the uptick or out of control or anything like that. And I can base that a little bit off of when crack cocaine became very popular about a decade ago. We eventually did see some crack cocaine in Manhattan, but it did not get to epidemic proportions whatsoever.
Dave, you wanted to add something here?
Yeah, we had a caller just a few moments ago that wasn't able to be on the air, but wanted to ask the question of Representative Phillips pertaining to the legalization of marijuana in the state of Kansas. And there's several different aspects of that as an agricultural crop as well as medicinal and for recreational use. You have some comments on that?
Yes. There was a bill. I sit on House Commerce, Labor, and Economic Development, and we did hear a bill about industrial hemp, and it is the growing of hemp, and there is a distinction between hemp and marijuana from a legal perspective, because genetically they can remove the THC, the drug element that actually creates the high. And then hemp can be used in clothing and all kinds of products. And so we had actually farmers from southwestern Kansas that were encouraging us to consider that legislation. And then we had some law enforcement show up and say, you know, we need to be at the table and find out how we can ensure that if we do industrial hemp production, that it's done in such a manner that it doesn't introduce a drug element into communities. So the bill was pretty much placed on hold, if you will, and the parties were asked to sit down at the table, the law enforcement and the folks that want to promote this industry, to figure out the proper way to proceed forward from a legislative standpoint. So I think it's probably an idea that has merit. I can't remember off the top of my head, but there are other states that are pursuing this, and there may be some merit to that. The idea of legalization, I'm not in favor of. I am open to the conversation about medicinal use of marijuana. I've had conversations with constituents actually here in the community, and they strongly believe that with their child, that it does help with their seizures, and they are convinced of that. And at one point, they were actually thinking of moving to Colorado because of the legalization over there for medicinal hemp.
I might get Captain Kyle's viewpoint, but let's go ahead and take a break. We're way overdue, 9:25. And can you stick around a little bit longer, Tom?
Sure.
Very good. State Representative Tom Phillips of Manhattan, Riley County Police, Captain Josh Kyle. And again, 537-1350. Appreciate phone calls. You're listening to In Focus.
When catastrophe hits and your home or office is damaged, get 24/7 response from Restore of the Heartland, 776-9668. online at restoreoftheheartland.com.